All right, very good. I do have a message for you guys tonight from Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah 24, and we'll also be turning soon to chapter 13 as well. As you guys know, I do often turn to sections from my daily scheduled readings for our midweek Bible studies. And so in keeping with that practice, I'm turning tonight to Isaiah 24. Since it was today the last chapter of my scheduled reading from the Old Testament. And for my daily reading, I use my Cambridge Wide Margin Bible, which has, it does have a center column reference section, but there's no margin or footer notes. Although at the top of every page, there is a very short sentence summary of the general topic for that page. There are no red letters. It's all black letter. Perhaps since the producers at Cambridge University Press in England felt it's all the Word of God, or else perhaps they do so simply because they're continuing the way they printed these Bibles for the last 300 years or so. I don't know. But that said, I long ago either underlined in red or drew a vertical line in the margin just next to longer discourses where the Lord Jesus is speaking in the New Testament, sometimes in the Old as well when he's talking. I have marked in my Bible all my daily scheduled readings in the margin following, you know, the same one-year Bible outline I've put on our website. And so the only study notes that are in my Bible are those that I put there myself. And in the margin just beside the top of this chapter, chapter 24 of Isaiah, I have added in the chapter, in what I would deem to be the chapter title, which is Isaiah's Apocalypse, Global Judgments of the Tribulation Period. And that's really what this chapter is all about. As one of the first prophecies about that period that the Lord Jesus referred to in his Olivet Discourse as a Great Tribulation. In the preceding chapters leading up to chapter 24, Isaiah was given prophecies that he called burdens against some of Judah's surrounding nations, Moab, Damascus and Syria, Ethiopia, Egypt, Tyre, and Philistia. In chapter 22, though, Isaiah records his burden of the Valley of Vision, which is a reference to Jerusalem, Mount Zion, and its surrounding valleys around Jerusalem. But then here in chapter 24, Isaiah's attention is turned to a prophecy against the entire earth, the world as a whole. We read here in Isaiah 24, verse 1, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him." Verse 3, "The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people, the prideful of the earth, do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The new wine, the grapevines, mourneth. The vine languisheth. All the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of Tabrez ceaseth. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the heart ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion," I believe that's a reference to Rome, "is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. And the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, and they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even in the name of the Lord God of Israel, in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. And we can sure say that in our day. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. He that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. That reference there, the windows from on high are open, is somewhat reminiscent of what took place during the flood of Noah, when the windows of heaven were opened. The earth is clean dissolved, and the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the higher ones that are upon the that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be visited. And then in verse 23, Isaiah refers to the sun and the moon in much the same way the Lord Jesus does in his Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, where Isaiah says, then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. Verse 23 really pinpoints the timing of when this prophecy is directed. This chapter is actually somewhat of a continuation or a repeat of a similar prophecy that Isaiah gave back in chapter 13 about the day of the Lord and what he called the burden of Babylon. Back to Isaiah 13, we read in verse 1, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. Verse 3, I have commanded my sanctified ones. That's us. I have called also my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. I think here he's actually referring to angels, such as the angels that John describes in Revelation that are employed in the outpouring of God's judgments upon the earth. I think that's what he's referring to in that verse. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Verse 6, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as of a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And again, that verse somewhat pinpoints the point in time where this prophecy is directed to. This is very familiar language here. As we know, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I believe, based on verse 10 here, This passage also is directed to that same time of tribulation that the Lord Jesus spoke of. It certainly appears that he's speaking of the same time there. So we read in of that same day here in chapter 13 and verse 11, where he says, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, like we just read in chapter 24. Will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. So the preterist tries to claim that this passage in chapter 24 as well, a strictly prophecy is given as metaphor or allegory here against ancient Babylon. However, since no such judgment ever did take place against ancient Babylon, and from the language here that is very similar to Isaiah's language in chapter 24 and also to the words of the Lord Jesus in his Olivet Discourse, I believe it's clear that both this chapter 13 and chapter 24 also do describe the time of tribulation that Jesus referred to in those passages in his Olivet Discourse, and also which John, of course, gives more detail of in his book of Revelation. So back to chapter 24, again here in verse 19, Isaiah says, "The earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again." Then he says in verse 21, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth." I believe this refers to those who are even now aligned with their father, the devil, in the globalist cabal of co-conspirators who have schemed, planned, plotted, and are now perpetrating what they call the Great Reset in hopes of seeing their dream of the ages finally realized. For the last several centuries, up until now, actually, we have heard of wars and rumors of wars that have been in various nations, you know, various troubles have occurred in various nations. But now we have this globally orchestrated plot to bring the nations of the world under this horrible scourge of this COVID-19 staged pandemic. I do believe that the high ones referred to here and the kings that are upon the earth do refer to this globalist cabal who are perpetrating what they call their Great Reset. And they're doing so in hopes of seeing their dream of the ages finally realized, that being a new world order to be ruled by that man of sin, the Antichrist. And may I say, John Gill actually agreed with that interpretation somewhat in the 18th century, though being a historicist, he limited his application to the Pope and his minions. John Gill says, verse 21 in his commentary, quote, "that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high." He says, "which is not to be understood of the darkening of the sun, the moon, and stars in the heavens, as some say, nor of the visiting of angels, nor of the punishment of Satan and his principalities and powers, who are reserved for the judgment of the great day, much less the people of the Jews, their kings and rulers, but of Antichrist and his dignified clergy, cardinals, archbishops, bishops, etc., who are the host or army of that high one," Gill says, "as it may be rendered, of him that exalts himself above all that's called God, sitting in the high place in the temple of God, as if he was God." So he attributes that to the Pope. He says, "and the kings of the earth upon the earth, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication with the whore of Rome, and who will make war with the Lamb, and shall be overcome by him," Revelation 17, 2. So that's Gill's interpretation here. This passage says, "the Lord has reserved a special punishment for all those who have schemed, plotted, and conspired to bring about the devil's new world order and the reign of the devil's Antichrist," which I do believe this staged COVID-19 pandemic has now, even now, turned our world upside down and changed our world, as the Pope says, forever, as I believe it was quite masterfully sprung globally on the nations of the earth to bring about that great reset and this the devil's new world order. And the lifelong dream of this cabal, their lifelong dream of the ages, will be realized for a brief time. And when it is, I think they'll be sorely disappointed to find out that their plan didn't work as well as they thought it would. It won't quite be the heaven on earth and the utopia they thought it would. In fact, during that time, the Lord himself will see to that, because instead he'll be turning this planet into hell on earth as he pours out his sore judgments upon this Christ-rejecting planet. And then afterward, they'll also find that their eternal judgment of damnation has been looming over them, just waiting for them to fall into it. Because, as we read here, "it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high and all the kings of the earth upon the earth." These verses assure us that all of those globalist co-conspirators will be punished for their evil. Those of this generation, the Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, Henry Kissinger, Pope Jorge Bergoglio, the British royal family, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Anthony Fauci, the Clintons, the Bush family, many others we could name, along with many others in that cabal, preceding generations as well, like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. Verse 22, they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit and shall be shut up in the prison. And after many days, they shall be visited. And I believe this period of many days we read of here, it refers to the 1,000 years of Christ's reign upon the earth, to which Isaiah then refers in verse 23. He says, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. During that time, we do know from Revelation 20 that the devil himself will be shut up in a prison as well. And it appears in this passage that actually the Lord will assign those of his loyal followers to special dungeons of their own, possibly awaiting their judgment. Perhaps as Peter and Jude both say of angels that sinned, that were cast down to hell, reserved an everlasting change under darkness, under judgment of the great day. After many days, the passage says they will be visited. And I think John describes that in Revelation 20, verse 10, where he says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He says, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them, the earth and heaven. John says, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. He says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. A somewhat viral video is circulating in recent days. It was forwarded to me by Brother Mike and also by a couple others of our online listeners. And this video features a Dr. Brian Artis of Texas, wherein he proves, it's a presentation that he makes, I'm not sure where it's made from, but he proves from CDC and NIH, National Institute of Health documents, how very early on in this so-called pandemic, Jesuit Anthony Fauci, the 21st century doctor of death, promoted through the CDC the very dangerous drug Remdesivir for hospitals to treat COVID patients, which Fauci, he proves with these documents, Fauci knew at that time that Remdesivir was not an effective drug against the SARS virus. And he also knew it causes liver damage, kidney failure, hypotension, or dangerously low blood pressure, causes multiple organ dysfunction syndrome and septic shock. And Anthony Fauci and the CDC did this for the purpose of ramping up the number of deaths that could be blamed on COVID-19 to create more fear and panic and to generate a market for these satanic vaccines from hell. And that is precisely why, if you remember, early on in this staged pandemic, doctors were saying that they've never seen anything like this COVID-19 virus that not only attacks the respiratory system, it attacks the kidneys as well. You guys remember that. They were saying they couldn't get enough ventilators, but they were also saying they couldn't get enough dialysis machines to treat all the kidney failure that was occurring. That was because of the Remdesivir. And this is one reason why there were so many deaths in the U.S. being blamed on COVID-19. And as I've said from the beginning, this global staged fake pandemic is a global fraud designed to implement the mark of the beast. And we're now almost there. The Jesuit emissary of Rome and mouthpiece of Lucifer, Joe Biden, tells us this is the pandemic of the unvaccinated. And that we know is another of his bald-faced lies, and he knows it too. More evidence surfaces almost daily, proving that the vaccines are doing nothing to protect anyone from anything, and that most of those who are now dying in hospitals have been fully vaccinated. So I'm going to do a share screen here. And what I have here is couple of different articles. First of all, here's one article. This came out today. This is in Oak Park, Illinois, which, by the way, is where famous architect, Frank Lloyd Wright, had several of his famous houses that he designed. Article headline, fully vaccinated account for 82% of Illinois public high schools' COVID cases. Subtitle, of the 17 individuals who have tested positive for COVID-19, 14 are considered 100% inoculated. The article says Oak Park, Illinois, Oak Park and River Forest High School has 17 confirmed cases of COVID-19 as of September 9th, with 14 cases coming from individuals who have been fully jabbed. The article continues, as previously reported by LifeSite, Cornell University has experienced 5 times as many infections from COVID since reaching 95% vaccination compared with pre-jab availability. Quote, despite testing fewer individuals, most of whom are vaccinated, the university still showed a positivity rate of 2 times higher than the previous year. The recorded data suggests that the COVID shots are not preventing the virus from spreading, and that perhaps virus spread is increasing as more and more people succumb to coercive measures used to persuade everyone to take the shots, says this article. High school students in particular could have concerns about the benefits of a COVID jab, especially if they see peers still contracting an infection. For example, a report from Ontario 2 weeks ago identified 106 cases of heart inflammation in people ages 12 to 24. I quote, the recent report released by Public Health of Ontario, which looked at the vaccine injury data from December 13, 2020 to August 7, 2021, confirmed in their findings that young people, primarily adolescent males, have an increased susceptibility to developing cardiac conditions following the jab, LifeSite reported. So these shots are not good for high schoolers at all. That's that article. Here's another one, also from LifeSite News. This is interesting. A TV station asks for stories of unvaxxed fatalities, but gets deluged with jab death and injury stories instead. ABC affiliate in Detroit sought stories of death to be unvaccinated. Instead, it got countless stories of harm from the COVID jab. They want to hear about where the unvaccinated are dying, but they're not getting that because the unvaccinated aren't dying. They're protecting themselves for the most part. Detroit, Michigan. Detroit's ABC station has Facebook users to share stories of unvaccinated people who have passed away from COVID-19, only to be flooded with stories of death and injury as a result of the shots. After the vaccines were available to everyone, did you lose an unvaccinated loved one to COVID-19, they asked. If you're willing to share your family story, please DM us your contact information. They want to find people they can put on their TV station so we may reach out for a story we're working on. An overwhelming number of people responded with stories not of death of the unvaccinated, but of death and injury soon after the COVID-19 shot. One said, I don't know anyone who died from COVID, but I do know a 37-year-old who got the vaccine and died of brain aneurysm 8 days later, wrote one Facebook user. So that's that article. It continues. We won't go through all that. Here's another one. This is from the UK, the Exposé publication. Breaking, 30,305 people died within 21 days of having a COVID-19 vaccine in England during the first 6 months of 2021, according to ONS data. Official Office for National Statistics data has inadvertently revealed that 30,305 people have died within 21 days of having a COVID-19 vaccine in England during the first 6 months of 2021. The article continues with the stats, etc. And then here's another article from the same publication over in the UK. Exclusive, 80% of COVID-19 deaths in August were people who had been vaccinated, according to public health data. So Joe's claim that this is the pandemic of the unvaccinated is a flat-out, bald-faced lie, of course, as about everything else was that he said last week. Nevertheless, despite the fact that opposition is mounting, many people are resisting, and many lawsuits are in the works to prevent vaccine mandates, and despite the fact that new evidence surfaces every day to disprove the entire UN, World Health Organization, global government's COVID-19 narrative, Lucifer's lies continue, unabated, relentlessly, as spouted off by Joe Biden last week, and most of the people still believe the lies. They don't want to hear the truth. Today, Biden, was it yesterday or today, Biden said that Gavin Newsom's victory there and the California recall proves that the people approve of his vaccine mandates. Proves that, doesn't it? Lucifer's lies will continue, and most of the people will continue to believe the lies. which is why we read the seemingly unbelievable statement in Revelation 13 that all the world wondered after the beast. Why does all the world wonder after the beast? Because their eyes have been blinded to the gospel. We read there that they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The majority of this world will continue to be deceived and remain in the dark, despite all of our efforts to wake him up, which have to continue anyway. So long as the cabal controls the mass media, which they do, and as long as most of the people believe their lies, which they do, the Jesuit Joe Biden and his cabal are not worried at all about those of us who know and are trying to share the truth to people to wake them up. Big names like Dr. Joseph McCullough and others, they do shut down. Well, you need to be careful with our YouTube channel. They want to shut us down. They do what they can to shut us down and to turn off our message. But most people just don't want them to wake up anyway. Well, we've got to keep trying. That's why the Lord Jesus left us here. And that's why, by the way, there will be no pre-trib rapture. So we can stay here and continue to witness for Jesus until we get to suffer for him instead. I predict that vaccine passports will become a reality. They will come to every state, including Florida, within 2 years tops. That's my prediction, maybe sooner. And that's whether Ron DeSantis allows it or not. My guess is if Ron DeSantis keeps his office, he will allow it and even agree with and promote it as he is presently, in fact, promoting the vaccines and bragging about how fast Florida got vaccines for its elderly citizens. He approves the vaccines. And the vaccine passport will be precisely the same thing as the social credit system that has currently enslaved the entire population of China. 1.5 billion souls are enslaved the Chinese Communist Party with their social credit system that they have to please the government for them to get social credits, to go anywhere and to have privileges. This vaccine mandate will be precisely also the same thing as the mark of the beast. It will accomplish the same purpose and produce the same results for all of us. We won't be able to go to the grocery store, use public transportation, and we may well be shut out of all electronic banking as well. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see where it goes. But we know that the Bible says no man could buy or sell, save he that had the mark, the number of his name. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that although we will be persecuted, perhaps even to a greater degree than Christians of his day were persecuted, we can take at least a partial comfort and find some rest in what Isaiah says here, that the wicked are going to have their day. They're going to be judged. God's reserving a special punishment for them. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 10, and to you who are troubled, he says, rest with us. Take some comfort in this. You can rest in this. He said, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Paul says, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. We can rest in the fact that one day the devil and his cabal will get what's coming to them. But of course, as Isaiah confirms in this passage and also on into the next chapter, we have much more than that to take comfort in. Isaiah says in verse 23 of chapter 24, that the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts, that's Jesus, may I say, shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. And we will be there reigning with him in the glorified form. We can take great comfort in the fact that we are on the winning side here. Amen. It will appear for a time that the devil and his crowd are winning. But even when that appears to be true, that the devil's crowd will all come to realize that they had been deceived by the very devil that they had pinned their hopes on, and their dream of a utopia will turn into hell on earth. And then first, the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, but obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And then they'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And then we will be raised to receive our glorified spiritual body that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 15. to reign with the Lord Jesus and before his ancients gloriously from Jerusalem. Which is why then Isaiah begins to praise the Lord in the very next verse, the very next chapter, chapter 25 of Isaiah. Let's read on. Isaiah says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. He says, therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations. I believe that is a reference to Rome and to all those that aligned with her. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. One day Rome will fear the Lord Jesus. For thou hast been a strength to the poor and a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with a shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible ones will be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people, that's Mount Zion, shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. That's going to be the wedding supper of the Lamb. A feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people. Because there's going to be joy in that day. And the veil that spread over the nations, this veil of darkness that we're experiencing right now. He will swallow up death in victory, just like Paul says. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. What a wonderful future we have. Amen.
Amen.
Jesuits Joe Biden and his faithful sidekick, Anthony Fauci, and their Jesuit so-called Holy Father, Jorge Bergoglio, have only an indescribably dark, fearful, and terrible future of damnation to look forward to.
Amen.
But much to the contrary, our future is as bright as will be the coming of the Lord Jesus in power and glory. We can rejoice that the Lord has reserved a special punishment for the devil's cabal that has planned and perpetrated this very well-orchestrated fraud that has brought down this cloak of darkness upon the whole world that we're suffering through right now, the so-called COVID-19 pandemic. And beyond that, we can rejoice that the Lord has opened our eyes to these things. Thank God our eyes are open, especially to the truth of the gospel, that he has called us into his kingdom, that we are on the winning side. And that one day after the devil's cabal have had their day, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul says in verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen.
Amen.
We have a wonderful, bright future to look forward to. We'll get through this time of darkness. Great future to look forward to. I love what Isaiah also says in the next chapter, Isaiah 26. Great passage if you're fearful, if you're going through a hard time. Remember these verses here in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We just need to keep our minds stayed on the Lord Jesus, on the Lord Jehovah. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's why I had to share with you tonight. A little few words there, a few observations from my daily reading in Isaiah 24. And with that, I'm going to open the floor for discussion and comments and anything else you guys would like to share.